Welcome to the Small Business Podcast with David Michaels and Daniel Miller. This week, we're going to just be doing a off-the-cuff, flying-over-the-top-of-the-border ranting sort of episode. We just saw things that we've run into in businesses, and we're just going to discuss what people are doing at their multi-level marketing, levels of advertising, and things that are going on in our lives this week. So, David, as usual, we start off this episode with how are you doing, but we're not going to. Do you know why? Starting with me, because I am tired of having to go and be nice to everybody else today.
I'm kidding, good David. For how you, are you, Daniel. Doing? Good for you. How are you, Daniel?
I'm doing good. I had a really good day. I was able to put out some flyers at work, and also I was able to catch up with my emails with my customers, so it's always good when I can do that.
Is it like just put out fires week? Because I have another friend who's just complaining how she's been constantly putting out fires and trying to get people to stop arguing and minimize the drama and just get along harmoniously. Like people who normally do, like for some reason they're just freaking out, and she's got to be the person to calm everyone down and get them to communicate like human beings again.
It may be something that she has an overlap with what it would be. She may have an overlap in the time of the period of when they're actually having the tests and everybody's nerves are wearing thin to when she's actually seeing these nerves going. Because, I mean, we had an example with one of our projects, and I use this a lot. When we were doing an industrial engineering project, we had to summarize basically an entire semester we were supposed to be doing a project. And every single time we said, oh, we'll just do this next week. We'll do this next week. Until finally it built up so badly that we had to do the entire semester's worth of work in one weekend. We spent 72 hours together. We were on edge. It was horrible because we were 72 hours together, of which we probably spent 60 hours awake. So, yeah, there wasn't enough time to sleep. We were just walking dead, and it was very dangerous. And I said, we need to commit to rotating shifts of sleeping because this is not good. We're very on edge. Everyone was ready to kill each other.
Yeah.
We were normally happy-go-lucky people. I mean, these were positive individuals. And you know me, I'm for the most part positive and upbeat. But it was – when you don't get enough sleep and when you're running yourself ragged, you'll turn on one another real quick.
Yeah, but I don't think that's what was going on here. But that's a good insight. So we haven't had a good rage of the week in a long time. Is there – something in particular you just got to rage about?
Well, not yet. Let's go ahead and walk through some of these items, and then we can go from there.
All right. We'll
run across one.
We'll use that as a springboard. Yeah, here we go.
Let's go springboard into one topic that you were talking about, which is efforts that individuals go to when they start multi-level marketing. Now, we've touched on this before, and I have a good example of it. It was with anybody who we know who sells knives, is that you can kind of tell when people are starting to sell knives because you have friends come out of the woodworks who just go, hey, David, Daniel, how are you guys doing? And I'm like, wow, friend I haven't talked to in 2 years, how are you doing? And they fire back with, well, I'm doing good, but I have a concern for you. I have a feeling that you don't have the knives that can cut the meat that you have in your house, cut tomatoes at a safe distance. And you're like, I'm glad that you have this concern. Did you lose your job recently? And they go, yes, I did. How did you know?
Because you're psychic.
And then they go into the, oh, well, I have these fantastic knives. And one of the best jokes I have with myself that I muse about is that I can see people's posts on Facebook, oh, I've lost my job. Then they say, I found a new project. I can work for myself. And then comes the, would you like to buy some knives? Anybody?
Right, or some product or service that you're selling through a network marketing company. Now, I know
I don't want to discourage people who do that. I just think it's just one of those amusing things that I've run across. Now, David, you had a situation where an individual is trying to sell you stuff, and they're not even bothering being your friend.
Yeah.
Segway.
This happened on Facebook, which is a great way to market a business, you know, social networking and all that. But this is just a lady who shall remain anonymous. And,
Give her a name?
We can make up a name.
Okay, let's call her, let's call her Orphan. Orphan Annie.
Orphan Annie. All right, so Orphan Annie and I, you know, we become friends on Facebook. And, you know, I'm marketing myself on there, too. So if anyone sends me a friend request, you know, I usually add them. And honestly, I don't know if I was adding her or she was adding me first. But somehow we became friends. And she emails me pretty quick right off the bat and says, you know, hey, thanks for being friends and this and that. And I'm marketing a new business I'm in. And I'm, you know, just using social networking and making lots of friends online to help spread the word. I'm like, oh, that's
danger.
Cool.
Danger.
So I'm a curious person. And I'm a natural networker. I like to know what everybody does and, you know, and just that way I can team people up. If I know someone over here who's good at this thing and someone over there who wants to do that, I can bring them together and help everyone reach their dreams, right? So
good networking.
Yes. Is this what?
That's good networking.
Right.
That's what we're supposed to be doing.
It's what I enjoy doing naturally. So I just, you know, what is she into? What business is she starting?
That's so, what she said.
So she tells me, oh, it's great. It's really exciting. And I should call this number and listen to a conference call, and it'll tell me all about it.
What?
And I'm like, I, you know, really don't have time to sit on a conference call to hear a sales pitch. Just can you tell me what the business is? I mean, what is your product or service? What do you sell? Oh, no, it's awesome. It's really exciting. Getting a lot of people involved. Like, I'd ask her, is this a network marketing company, an MLM? And she's like, yeah. And it's really exciting, and we're making so much money in my downline, and it's, you know, the company's only been around for a couple of years.
Wait, she used the word downline?
Maybe, yeah. And
weird.
I don't remember.
Why would you say that?
So, you know, she's just all enthusiasm, and I'm like, great, so what do you guys sell? Well, you really need to just listen to the conference call. I don't want to listen to a conference call. All right, well, here, go to my website and have some videos. It'll show you everything. I was like, how hard is it to just say, I sell X? Not ecstasy, hopefully.
I was about to say, that's probably why she's avoiding just telling you.
I sell this widget. I sell a gizmo. I sell a service. Something. But she couldn't do it. So finally, I curiosity got the best of me, and I clicked through the website link because I figured I can look at it real quick and then move on.
Did you have one of those tags after that tells you who did it?
No, I think it was just a regular URL. So,
well, that's smart.
So I go there, and it's another new MLM company selling, like, skincare and health and beauty products. And I'm like, okay, that's great. That's nice. Good for them. It's a big industry. I'm sure they'll do well. But I had already told this lady that Orphan Annie – that I already have my own business, and I'm not looking to, you know, participate in any others right now. My current business takes up more than my full time. And you know how that goes, Daniel. So.
Yes. You barely have any time as it is. And I have a rant now, but keep going.
Go for your rant. Let's hear it.
Okay.
Strike while the iron's hot.
This is when you know that you have – that you're getting busy, is that there's 24 hours in a day. And I read an article where an individual said, look, I will give you my phone number if you promise, and this is the most important thing, you can have all the information you want to contact me. If you can help me with what I'm trying to do, that's what I want. That's all I want. And all the spam that comes in fact, I got an email from an individual from England who's trying to spam me saying, hey, you know, you're my long-lost cousin. I don't have any cousins who are long-lost. And I just found this massive amount of money if you send me this information. People, stop wasting my time. I have a certain amount of time in a day. I want people to focus on what I'm having as issues. If you can help solve those issues, I'm willing to listen. But when you try and engage me in these kind of weird games and it's not going to help me and you're having me to go log online to go and figure out something, it's not – I'm not happy. And you can hear it in my voice. I don't like it. So, David, keep going. It drives me up the wall. It's like, look, I have a certain amount of things. I know what I have as an issue. If you want, I'll post them on Facebook, Daniel's list of things that need to be resolved. If you have a solution, please do it. Wait a minute. We have a business idea.
See? Sometimes these rants have a fruitful ending.
Okay. This is going a different direction.
So okay. wrapping up Orphan Annie's story.
Okay.
So I eventually, you know, I said, yeah, I checked out your website. Looks interesting. You know, like I said, I'm already fully involved in my current business. And but, you know, good luck. Seems like a good product. And she's like, that's great, thanks. And, you know, do you know anyone else who'd be interested? And I was like, not this time, but, you know, I'll keep it in mind if I meet someone who might want to be interested in selling that. You never know. So that was fine, and then we just left it at that. But then, like, I don't know, several days later, a week or two later, she emails me again, and, hey, you know, looking for people to join this business. It's really exciting. Are you sure you don't want to do it? And I'm like, yes, I'm sure. And then I think she stopped emailing me, but now she just sends me instant messages.
And you and I discussed this before the episode, is that do you think that's a bot on Facebook?
I don't know. It might be. Here's why. So, like...
We need to set the background.
Yeah, so Daniel and I are chatting before the show, doing our little show prep and everything.
Wait,
and
this is off the cuff.
And, yes, totally. Well...
Don't ruin the illusion.
The illusion, the magic behind the Small Business Podcast. All right, so while we're talking, this IM window pops up, and it's Orphan Annie trying to IM me. And she says, hey, how are you? Poke. Because she knows me through Facebook. So I get hey with a couple exclamation marks. How are you with three question marks. And then poke, which you do on Facebook apparently to say hello. So, stop poking me!
What do you think poking is?
I don't know. So, I just ignore it because I've already expressed I'm not interested, and it's all this Orphan Annie is interested in communicating, apparently. So I just close the IM window and move on. Well, exactly 4 minutes later, she responds. Now, I didn't respond. I didn't write anything. I just closed the window. So she responds, glad to hear it! Like, glad to hear what? I didn't reply. I guess she assumes I'm doing well. Which, thank you very much, I am. And then a minute after that, she types, seeking business partners, know anyone? With no punctuation, I might add, which is just a little pet peeve of mine.
No, that's a bad sign.
Yeah, so there's been no additional IM since then. So we're wondering, because she just said, glad to hear it when I didn't reply, like, could it be an automated bot that it's just sending out messages to everybody? Maybe. Could be. Maybe she's IMing so many people at once, she didn't realize I didn't respond, and she's just going through it. But anyways, what inspired today's show topic started here. And we're like, this is not a good way to market your business. You are hounding and annoying people who have already said they're not interested in what you're selling. Move on. Find someone else who is.
Or else. The larger question is, what is the goal here? Is it that you're trying to spam everybody and hope that you get something out of it, or what? And you, as an individual, may not be wanting to participate in it, but if you know someone who may be wanting to participate in multi-level marketing, if you do a good job of telling them, hey, look, this is what the plan is, here's what the deal is, real quick, in 14 words or 146 letters or less, not only can they Twitter that, but then you can also pass it along. And it's basically your elevator speech on mm-hmm. Facebook.
Right, right. Your elevator pitch, for anyone who's not familiar, is just something you can say real quick, you know, 30 seconds or less, to sell your idea, to get people excited about your business.
And you need to do that. And you need to have that down pat. And we encourage that all the time on this show.
It's an art all in itself, and it's something to always be practicing. I do it all the time unofficially. Like, you know, I'm just talking with friends and like, so what have you been up to? It's like, oh, I'm actually building this new product for a business. And I just say it real quick, and I gauge their feedback. I watch their face and their expressions and their interest level. And I learn, you know, certain ways you say things and certain things that you say get different emotional responses out of people. And you kind of fine-tune that so that when you start talking to investors or business partners or banks and things like that, when you really got to sell it, you've already refined that skill and you're like, here is why my business is awesome and you want to be a part of it and invest in it or something like that, you know. It's a skill worth developing.
Oh, it's very important, because you never know when you need to pitch it to someone, and you need to have it down pat, because – if you have that 30 seconds with the person who's going to invest in it, you want to get their attention and get it going.
Right.
You never know. And that's why we call it the elevator speech, because you never know who you're going to be on the elevator with.
Yeah, and you do not want your elevator pitch to be, oh, it's a really exciting business. Dial into this 30-minute conference call to learn all about it. That comes second. after you pitch it, if they're interested and they want to learn more, say, hey, I'd love to tell you more. I don't have time right now. I'm about to get off. But call this number. It'll fill you in on all the details. And if you have any questions after that, call me. I'd be happy to answer them.
And that goes back to our original thing is, if you're in an elevator, you're not going to be able to call out because you're in an elevator with silver in line. And you're not going to be able to make a call.
Yeah, elevators have horrible cell reception. Right. The minute that door closes, you're like in a Faraday cage.
Wow, good reference.
Thank you. So that's my little rant, my rage of the week here.
Let's see, how many minutes did it take? That took 15 minutes? Okay, well, we started there. So the other thing that we've run across is that I've had a little bit of a down week this week with the tire paint.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had one individual wrote me an email that said, Mr. Miller, your tire paint website is not able to order. So I had to do a little bit of a background check to see if it was working. And this is where it's one of those things that you always have to make that decision of, do I want to go out on my own and try and make my own website, or do I just go with what's going on? And this goes back to original cloud versus making sure you have the information on your own computer.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm having to make these sort of decisions now. And I just saw the other day where Network Solutions, which is a large supplier of web domains, they just got hacked, and they've been passing viruses back down to
really
people.
Wow.
Yes. And so that was a big scare for a lot of people, because a lot of people use that service. So as a result, it's one of those things that, I don't want to leave, but there's a people who do 24/7 the network security solutions. And as a small business person, you have to weigh all these things. Do I have the time? Did I want to invest the amount of time that it's going to take for me to go and redo the website, put it in the background, and go? Mm-hmm. Or do I just accept that there might be some times where there's a little bit downtime? What is your opinion on making that solution?
I'm more of a hands-on kind of guy, up to the point that if it takes me too long to work on or figure out how to solve, or it's just too frustrating and just it's just an energy drain, then I outsource it and I'll pay someone else to take care of it, because my time could be better spent. Now, you know, you can save a lot of money by doing stuff yourself. And it's good to know things so that when problems arrive, you know, it could be a simple fix and you know how to do it. I like to be a little more hands-on with that stuff. But there comes a point where it's like, you know what, I'm going to spend 3 weeks solving this one little problem that'll take an expert, you know, maybe 15 minutes. At that point, you're like, all right, you know, I'm going to pay them the $50 or whatever they charge, have it done with, and I can move on to bigger and better things.
And that's how easy it is. But that's, again, going back to weighing your possibilities, do you mm-hmm. go and take it to the point where you say, oh, I'll do it in-house, or do you go ahead and outsource it? My policy has been, for the most part, except for the Ranger Paint's website, is to try and do things in-house. And I had one time where I was thinking about doing something outsourcing, and my beautiful wife made a point of, maybe you shouldn't do that. That's something you might want to have in-house. And it was a good point. So I did it myself, and it paid off, because now I have that information.
I know particularly smaller businesses and upstarts will do most of their stuff in-house. And when you get really big is when you start outsourcing everything.
Right.
I mean, like one thing that baffles my mind, like there are companies who just do payroll for everyone else's company. So people will outsource paying their own employees. And I'm like, isn't that something you would want to have direct control over? But I guess it's just more efficient for them and cheaper for them to just send the information to a third-party company and have them write out the checks for your employees.
I can understand it. For the very simple reason, if you start doing payroll and you see how much time you have to spend on doing payroll, you will go nuts.
Yeah.
You hear a lot of the banks trying pitching that idea that you can do payroll, and I can understand it completely. If you look at some of the bills and just some of the things that come out of Congress of what you need to do, ooh. There are so many chances for you to mess up. And the funny thing about it all is that Congress does not take it very kindly if you don't pay things.
Right. You know, speaking of government and policy, I was talking with a friend just the other day, and we were talking a little bit about politics, and there's a libertarian that she's actually helping to support right now. He's running for Florida Senate.
What's his name? Yes, everyone. Libertarians are a fourth political party. Please do not dispute that.
They're the third largest group, aren't they?
Yes. Yeah,
Republicans, Democrats, and then Libertarians. So, anyways, you know, we were talking about politics and stuff, and I was looking over the guy's website and, you know, where he stands on issues. I was like, he sounds like a libertarian. And I looked it up and I was like, yeah, he is. It's like, I thought I liked him. So, and she made some comment about how everything that's going on in government right now, and all these policies and the economy and everything, she's like, it's got to be driving the entrepreneur in me nuts. And I'm like, yeah. I mean, I've done a little light research about if things really go south here, where's another, you know, outside the United States would be a good place to live and set up a business? Because I'm running an internet company. I'm running an internet company. I can do this almost anywhere. So, unfortunately, some of the government's policies are scaring away some businesses. They're penalizing and pushing them out.
Shocking.
So, and you're much more well versed and educated on all this than I am, Daniel. So, yeah. So I don't have any plans on leaving the United States yet. I love it here. I want to create jobs here. But if government policy makes that too hard and too expensive for me, it's either no business or a business outside the country. I hope it doesn't get to that point, but if they tax you to death, you can't survive.
I have a couple examples of where it gets kind of crazy. So if you own a home and you rent that out to someone and you're making a passive income,
mm-hmm.
you actually qualify for a larger tax requirement under the government. So where you may be doing something good and may actually have saved up money, bought a house, and are renting it out to someone else and providing it to them, the government does not look kindly upon that and actually will tax you higher. It's just fun little things like that that just keep on making it difficult for businesses. And I don't know if you saw this, but there are more and more companies who are encouraging individuals to – they're not encouraging it, but they're trying to get people to work for free. Basically, interns are showing up and say, hey, I'll work for free if you guys let me get some work experience.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the question is, why would they need to do that unless they were able to make some wages? But the wages are required to have an individual entering a system are so high that it makes it difficult for companies to take the risk on hiring them. So they say, oh, I'll just do some intern work, get some basic experience, and go from there. But because it costs so much to hire them, companies are more and more going the route of just, you know, unpaid interns, to the point that Congress is actually looking into it now.
Yeah, so, I've actually got an unpaid intern, which, you know, she came to me repeatedly saying, you know, look, I want to work with you, I want this experience, and she's a marketing graduate, and you know, just finished school, I think this semester or in the summer, I think she got one class left. And, but yeah, I'm a marketing student, and she's like, I've never marketed an online business before. And she wants to focus in entertainment marketing. So she's like, this would be great. So she's like, you know, pulling up a little bit of research, like here's how to market games and things like that. And, I'm not quite ready to market my product yet. It's not finished yet. I've had some delays on a few outsourced freelance work. that's another rage if you remind me here if we're not running out of time.
All right.
But we did have a meeting not too long ago, and she's just going to do some, you know, market research for me right now at this point. But we talked about when we are ready to market a whole list of things that cost little or no money to market this business online. So we got some good ideas. I'm looking forward to it. And she said that she wants to work for free, just get the experience, partially because she doesn't know what she's doing yet, so this is a learning experience, so she doesn't want to get paid yet. But, you know, once she helps me get to a certain point and she knows what she's doing and I'm getting income, then we can talk about, you know, a regular hourly wage or something. But yeah, I've especially for the small business, interns are great.
They are great. It's one of those things that they first killed off stock options because they said, oh, it's helping out these companies too much. And then it kills off another thing, and it's just The problem is that people in Congress, I don't think they look at the economic incentives that they create for situations, and it's saddening. But anyway,
and people like being interns too, because they're like, if I do a good job, when a position opens up at that company, I'm usually first in line.
They know who you are, and that's the key thing.
When and you're already trained.
Company,
yeah,
they know who you are. They don't have to take a risk, because the big thing you have with any company is that they put all the training effort into you, and you turn out to. You don't have what it takes. You don't like the job after 2 weeks.
Or you up and quit or something. Yeah, it's just absolutely.
Any of those things can be a contributing factor to a company losing a lot of money. So as a result, they have to kind of – it's a gamble. Anytime you hire someone – David, you know this. I know this. Anytime you invest in any sort of employee or bring them in or anything like that, it's an investment in it's a risk, large risk.
It's a very high cost risk, yeah.
Ooh, nice, David. That's a good point. So – you've been listening to the Small Business Podcast with David Michaels and Daniel Miller. We have a number of topics now to talk about next week. If you'd like to reach us, you can do so by writing us at smallbusinesspodcast@gmail.com. If you write us personally, we will write you back personally. If you spam us personally, we'll figure out something to spam you with, maybe some knives. If you would like to reach us on Facebook, you can go to facebook.com and search for
the Small Business Podcast.
And you can see what we look like in person by going to our fan page. David, if you have anything you'd like to do, talk about this week, about what you'd like to talk about selling-wise, what are you working on?
I'm building up my fan page for Superpowers Unlimited on Facebook. So just while you're looking for the Small Business Podcast on Facebook, also search for Superpowers Unlimited, and you'll see that group too. And just, you know, hit the little like button, become a fan. Even if you never play the game, maybe you'll know someone who do. When the game goes public, I'm going to give an exclusive like character skill or superpower just for fans on Facebook and followers on Twitter. Just a little extra thing for saying, hey, thanks for keeping in touch kind of thing. So, yeah, look that up. Check out the website, superpowersunlimited.com.
Yeah. And if you want to have some really good tire paint, you can go to rangerpaint.com and check out some darn good tire paint. Plus, right. Check out and see if you can make some orders and tell me if you can by writing me at daniel.millard@rangerlabs.com. So, David.
Yes, Daniel.
Until next week, I'm Daniel.
And I'm David.
Have a good week.
Thanks for listening.